Welcome back, Wisconsin. I don't know about you all, but I need a breath. It's starting a Friday show off with a literal bang. What do you say, Brian? After that, no problem, right?
Yeah, I think we're good, guys. We did all our homework really early, and we're done. I think we're good.
And we're done.
Man, it was just great to listen to that kid. He's pretty good. Someday he'll grow up.
Oh, what an amazing man. And I do also want to tell Mr. Sean Astin, congratulations. In the break, he shared with us that he is, I think, 9 days away from finishing his master's degree in public administration. So our congratulations to Sean on that enormous accomplishment and our thanks to him for the work that he is doing. Also thanks, of course, to Council on Environmental Quality Chair Brenda Mallory, who spoke about the Biden-Harris administration establishment of the Springfield 1908 Race Riot National Monument in Springfield, Illinois today, the 11th use by the Biden-Harris administration of the Antiquities Act, trying to, again, engage all of our communities to really embrace the full complexity of our history. What a way to start out our Friday show, TGIF. Folks, if you missed any of that, actor Sean Astin or Chairwoman Mallory, you can, of course, find episodes of The Maggie Dawn Show at civicmedia.us. In fact, if you miss any of our great work, that is where you find all of our past episodes. But Brian, wow, there continues to be quite a lot going on. And I wanted to take a breath because, in my opinion, I am really annoyed with the way that the media has been covering what can only be described as a slow motion mental breakdown of Donald Trump's. I mean, he's basically dissembling before our eyes. And I mean, even if you're a conservative, you're a big Trump fan and you're MAGA all the way, that's fine. It's not, but okay. Just go listen to any interview of Trump from 4 years ago, 10 years ago, and then listen to the guy that has been rambling on nearly incoherently over the last week. There is no question that the guy is suffering massive delusions. He can't follow a train of thought. And everybody in the media, in my opinion, I mean, I was listening to MSNBC, CNN, a little Fox this morning. They keep talking about it as if it's a bad campaign. Oh, this is bad campaigning. It's not a bad campaign. It's a bad brain. The man has a bad brain. If the GOP wants to, you know, throw slings and arrows at the media for not more fulsomely covering what they claim was Biden's, you know, cognitive decline, why the hell isn't that happening here, especially from so-called liberal outlets? Again, this isn't a bad campaign. It's a bad brain. His gray matter is not functioning properly. And he was already
cognitively there.
Yeah, that's not normal things for people to talk about. And the evidence of this is just all over the place. One of the best terms I heard used to describe this, two of them, delusional and digressive, meaning the guy is just a walking tangent, a digression, if you will. There's no following of script or following of the bouncing ball. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I mean, talking to me is dizzying sometimes, but at least I do have a train of thought that I can follow my way back, and I know what I'm somewhat doing sometimes. Did you know that the other day?
Right. That's right. Listen, Brian, you had a wonderful show, Dueling Tangents. That was the brand, right? This guy is running for president. You and I are just having a little political talk on the radio. You would expect a guy running for president to be able to stay somewhat on message. And I think the question has to be asked, what the hell is wrong with him? Well, because it's seriously concerning as he is the Republican candidate for president.
Yeah, but I think you're conflating what their message actually is. We all want it to be like, what is your message on policy? What is your message on the environment? But really their message is the Democrats suck and screw you, the media. You're jerks. That's the message. That's it. So as long as he's saying anything to the effect of Democrats are jerks and the media are jerks, that's the message, and he's on message as far as they're concerned.
Yeah, but even if that were the standard, Brian, which it is not by any measure for a legitimate presidential campaign, you just can't go like, I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you. Like, that's for playgrounds, not presidents. The problem is, even if that was a salient message, he can't deliver it saliently. It's still an incredibly digressive, random array of tangents and half thoughts that bounce around like, you know, I don't know, an air popcorn machine. It just isn't reflective of a man that's in control of his faculties. I wouldn't be saying this if his attack lines on Kamala Harris and Democrats were cogent, on point, and consistent. The point of the matter is, whatever you think their message is or should be, there isn't one. It's just random nonsense. And shall we take a little bit of a listen? Because this week, if you thought the last 3 weeks were bad for Donald Trump, the past week has been even worse. They even trotted out props to help the guy stay on message yesterday. He was speaking, and they in North Carolina, was this North Carolina yesterday?
Or at one of his clubs? Bedminster.
Yeah, so Bedminster yesterday, North Carolina, the day before. In Bedminster, they had put groceries on the stage as almost like, well, if we show him what he should actually be talking about, perhaps this visual cue will help the guy stay on track. And it simply didn't. But let's start.
Nothing says awesome like bringing a bunch of groceries to a place where people don't buy groceries go.
Yeah, like at a country club. Apparently they didn't understand that was a little bit cognitively dissonant.
No, this is what the people buy.
Yes, at country clubs, they buy groceries. No, of course they don't. But let's start in North Carolina. Because, again, the discussion in North Carolina was supposed to be about the economy. It was supposed to be a serious discussion about economic policy. But the old Trumpster couldn't quite keep the thread. Let's take a listen.
Now, this is a little bit different day because this isn't around. This is what we're talking about. A thing called the economy. They wanted to do a speech on the economy. A lot of people are very devastated by what's happened with inflation and all of the other things. So we're doing this as a intellectual speech. You're all intellectuals today. Today we're doing it, and we're doing it right now. And it's very important. They say it's the most important subject. I think crime is right there. I think the border is right there personally. We have a lot of important subjects because our country has become a third world nation. We literally are a third world nation. We're a banana republic in so many ways, and we're not going to let that happen because we're starting a free fall. Today we're going to talk about one subject, and then we'll start going back to the other because we sort of love that, don't we? But it's an important subject. They say it's the most important subject. I'm not sure it is, but they say it's the most important. Certain inflation is the most important, but that's part of economy.
I dress myself.
I mean, for real. And we're talking about it right now. Well, at least he has mastered the concept of time. I mean, what? And inflation, it's part of economy. Like, the actual correct phraseology would be, a discussion of inflation is part of an economic policy or a discussion of economics. Like, the syntax is even screwed up.
He never had a middle school teacher say, Mr. Trump, did you read the book? Because that sounded like a kid trying to give a report on something he never read.
That's a perfect analogy, Brian. That is what it's like if you ever were the kid in like middle school caught unprepared for your book report, perhaps a sixth grade book report on where the red fern grows, a frequently read book in sixth grade, and you get up, well, it's about a fern where it grows in a place with trees and a dog, and that's
now that
and
I
they
think
do
about
that
it,
for a while.
Trump has stolen my bit. This is how I got into acting in the first place. So I couldn't do I couldn't play sports. I moved from New Hampshire to Michigan. Doesn't matter. I was in English class and I wouldn't read the book sometimes. But when I would make up answers, like make up just funny, completely wrong answers, and we'd have to correct each other's quizzes. People tried to sit next to me on purpose, knowing that I wouldn't read the book because it would be entertaining. And they would read it to the class. The whole class thought it was entertaining. And rather than go and tell me that I'm an idiot for not reading it, the teacher said, hey, get into acting. But my point is, Donald Trump stole my bit, and he keeps stealing my bit.
Yes, everyone out there, conservatives included, the next time you hear Donald Trump talking, think of fancy Brian Kelly in middle school, not reading the book, not reading the assignment, and, you know, baloneying his way through a quiz or a book report, because that's what we've got. We've got middle school brain who hasn't done his homework and can't quite stay on topic. Again, this isn't a bad campaign. It's a bad brain. A bad brain then coupled with like pathological and dangerous levels of narcissism, you know, with the nuclear football. I'm sure it'll all sort out. We don't need to stop in North Carolina. Let's take a listen to Trump yesterday comparing Kamala Harris to Nicolas Maduro, who is a dictator and has basically overthrown his country's government. Let's take a listen.
She's running on the Maduro plan. We call it the Maduro plan, like something straight out of Venezuela or the Soviet Union. This announcement is an admission that her economic policies have totally failed and caused really a catastrophe for our country, and beyond that, a catastrophe in the world.
Venezuela is where he's running after he loses, by the way. He said that.
Right. And just in case you haven't been staying up on the international affairs, Venezuela just had an election about 3 weeks ago. By all reports and according to publication posting of some of the official ballot tally, the totals, Maduro lost by a landslide. People are rioting in Venezuela. Nicolas Maduro is executing his political enemies. Does this sound familiar to anyone? The analogy, Mr. Trump, is not Kamala Maduro. It's you and Maduro. You're the one who has threatened to weaponize the DOJ to go after your political enemies, have talked about people who disagree with you as if they've committed treason for disagreeing with you on policy bases. You're the one who incited an insurrectionist violent uprising that disrupted the peaceful trance of power. You're Maduro. Again, perhaps it's, again, the kid who hasn't done his homework and a huge amount of psychological, what it would call projection, right? That's what you hear from conservatives. It got worse. Then Trump started talking about Miriam Adelson. She is the widow of a major, major GOP donor. Check this weirdness out. And folks, if you've served in the military, listen closely to what Donald Trump has to say about the highest honor that can be bestowed by the U.S. government. Listen closely to this, folks.
We gave Miriam the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That's the highest award you can get as a civilian. It's the equivalent of the Congressional Medal of Honor, but civilian version. It's actually much better because everyone gets the Congressional Medal of Honor. That's soldiers. They're either in very bad shape because they've been hit so many times by bullets, or they're dead. She gets it, and she's a healthy, beautiful woman. It's right. And they're rated equal.
That is appalling. Appalling. It's so bad, we'll have to take a listen to it again when we come back. We'll go to the phones. I want to hear from you. What do you think the most crackpot thing that Donald Trump has said lately is? There's so many to choose from. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. He did his homework today. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll take your calls and texts next. 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842.
The family gathers around and reads it, and then someone screams out, "She's laughing up at us from hell." It's me, I am the problem. It's me, it's me, I am the problem. It's me, it's me.
And he said, "No way." And I said, "Way."
The exact exchange and nuance of phrase in this ritual is very important.
Because I'm cognitively there.